Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 136, episode 2 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, now more than ever, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka, let's say, Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yeah, Miles Gray, aka Miles Gray. Let's get into it. Let's get into it.
We're no thrilled to be joined in our third seat by...
No time.
Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus.
Hi. No. Yep. Hi. Hi,
everybody. Like,
AKA, yep.
Fuck all that.
All right. It was fun. It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
And we're thrilled to be joined in our fourth seat by the hilarious and talented Brandy Posey.
Hey.
What's up,
guys?
Brandy?
Oh,
hey.
I've
welcome
just,
to
yeah,
the fun episode.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys. I'll say that much. It's good to see you. Yeah. I love you. This is a good group. It's good to see everybody.
I'm so glad Brandy's on. I always like when you're on, Brandy. It's always good.
Always.
Especially when somehow the shit just gets heavier. But that's where we're at now, because it's time to use these muscles. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The last time I was on, we watched Men in Black, and now we're here supporting.
Now we're watching Men in Black sort of help do all kinds of shady shit on camera. I don't know what that is.
If only we had... Men in Black are canceled now.
Yeah exactly. Overrated Men in Black, underrated black men. There's the beginning.
There you go. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, Brandy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. I mean, we're going to talk about all sorts of shit, all the stuff. We are going to specifically talk about the effects of the draconian curfews on protests and just the history of curfews. I'm going to talk a little bit about David Grossman, who is this fake military guy who trains cops to kill people. And he's a very popular circuit speaker. You can book him for your police force training. And he, he basically tries to train the resistance to kill out of police forces across America. We're going to look at how Trump is using this, like his Reichstag fire, to try and consolidate power against the left, his bullshit Antifa narrative, the Church of Consumerism being on full display just everywhere over the weekend. All of that, plenty more. Brandy, what's something from your search history?
how to be an ally.
Abrams tank vulnerabilities.
The big thing is like how to deal with tear gas, since we are committing war crimes against our own people. The milk and everything being poured on your face, like it isn't, it actually helps, but it's not
It's not sterile.
Yeah. So water is still the best. From what I've been reading, at least, water seems like it's still the best thing. And be pouring away from your face as much as possible so it's not getting on your body.
Right. And directly onto your eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Avoid the baking soda because it scratches your corneas.
Yeah. So that's what I've been Googling. also, maybe just Google Shrek. Like, maybe that would be a fun thing just on the side, just to like, look at, I don't know.
Shrek the musical.
See your friendly face, yeah.
Don't.
But then, like, I got to look at Farquaad. Like, he's like the police state and shit. It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you could look at anything. And like, it was impossible to try and look at something and not be immediately reminded of the absolute, like, that we've reached fever pitch in the rejection of like white supremacy and over policing. Like, and then that actually triggered a lot of other anger people had connected to that. Cause overall that's an injustice. A lot of other people were like, you know, I've also felt injustice. I'm also very angry too.
Mm-hmm.
I had to fucking watch competitive Peloton.
I saw that in your story.
To try and come back to zero. You know, because honestly, it's easy. It's so, competitive Peloton. You know, it's, if you want to see something so absurd, check that out on the ESPN app.
Oh, man. Yeah.
On the ESPN app?
Holy yeah, there's a bunch of celebrities like, doing it.
That's what they're covering.
Like Gordon Peloton. Hayward and like Bubba Smith. Just like all these like people, like celebrity, like athletes basically on their it's basically like, hey, you got a Peloton, then you can be in this thing where we're just gonna watch people sweat.
Peloton has done a real reverse heel turn in the past 6 months. They really, around Christmas time, we were like, fuck Peloton, and now we're like, Peloton is the only thing connecting us to the earth.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, full disclosure, I have one.
wow.
Yeah.
Brave, okay.
I just put it out there. But they did they actually sent out an email last night that was like, Black Lives Matter, fuck, we don't know what to do. Interesting.
And that's okay. And that's brands. And that's okay.
Yeah. Don't,
the boilerplate nonsense posts are like...
Yeah.
Especially from like L'Oreal, Amazon, who was like and firing people, like their models who were like talking out about race. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh no. We don't let people say white supremacy in a sentence that has our name attached.
Wait, they were firing people who were speaking out against white supremacy?
Years ago.
Jesus Christ.
I'll find it. But like there was a black model who had something to say about racism, and L'Oreal's like, oh, we're dropping them. That was in 2017.
Yeah,
the corporate response has been very bizarre and disingenuous. I mean, especially from places like fucking Amazon.
Transgender model. I want to say that as accurately as possible. Monroe Bergdorf, and I think she said, honestly, I don't have energy to talk about the racial violence of white people anymore. Yes, all white people, because most of y'all don't even realize or refuse to acknowledge that your existence, privilege, and success as a race is built on the backs, blood, and death of people of color. Your entire existence is drenched in racism. Come see me when you realize that racism isn't learned. It's inherited and consciously or unconsciously passed down through privilege. That post caused L'Oreal in the UK say, L'Oreal champions diversity. Comments by Monroe Bergdorf are at odds with our values, so we have decided to end our partnership with her. That was in 2017.
Fuck off.
You know what I mean? This is how quickly...
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shut the...
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let these fucking brands get away with this shit. I mean, if like if it's full reckoning time, like let's pull out all the fucking receipts.
People are throwing their bodies in front of these brands to be like, don't harm the stores. Leave the stores alone.
Yeah. It's absurd. And it's like brands that have a marked history of like suppression, erasure, all this shit. Fucking like Star Wars. And I also find it bizarre that like people are, I think it's like well-intentioned, but people are like, hey, why hasn't the at Star Wars official account spoken out on this? And you're like, well, this is someone, like, this is a fucking brand that erased the only black character from all, like, advertising in China. Like, what do you, like...
Yeah, what do you
expect gives a
here?
Fuck what Star Wars has to say on this
Well,
matter.
I think because this is a convergence of, like, all of the bad symptoms of, like, racism and capitalism and consumerism, like, flaring up at once. Like, people are so fucked off consumer capitalism that they're, like, people arms akimbo in front of the fucking Target. Like, you will not burn this Target down. Like, what?
Yeah.
We'll talk about all of this. But it's clear that, like, even in our news coverage, we're more concerned with property over people.
Yeah.
The coverage is about property. It is not about people. It is not about what the people are in the streets for. You are doing fucking ESPN of, like, a Lululemon burning down with a play-by-play. No one... That's just for a very specific, cynical aim of the media. And I'm sure we're going to talk about all this. I could go off... Fucking right. Start my fucking 5 minute countdown timer. I'm ready to fucking lift off. But like, this is, it's every single thing. I'm like, I was trying to be like, how can I talk about this? I'm like, holy shit, man. Yeah. I'm seeing the Matrix, and the Matrix is the same thing, but it's expressing itself in its unique way, but it's still the same thing. It's white supremacy and capitalism expressing itself through all of these mechanisms that it's put in place to maintain its existence. And, you know, power. Anyway, so watch Peloton, competitive Peloton on ESPN.
This has been an endorsement for Peloton.
Brandy, what's something you think is underrated?
Black man, men in black. I'm going to make that my answer from earlier.
Great.
Yeah. And then my myth is that Antifa has a leader.
There was a great tweet. There are so many people where I saw a couple of versions of the construction. People were like, I am the president of Antifa. And then other people did the great pivot of like, now hopefully, like, yes, now the CIA, please give me anti-tank missiles and cash.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see that there was like a screenshotted tweet going around yesterday from an account called Antifa_US that was like,
yep.
Tonight's the night, comrades, with a capital C.
Tonight's the night, comrades.
Tonight's the night, comrades.
Tonight we say, quote, fuck the city, and we move into the residential areas.
Fucking
the white hoods, and we take what's ours.
Cop bots are out of fucking control. Yeah. They're like... Yeah. Yeah, cop bots are, it's like the joke accounts that have been circulating for years and years. Like, it's so fucking out of touch and,
right.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
There were several people in my time when I had to be like, yo, do you not get that this is fake? If you don't get this is fake, you're the stupidest person.
Yeah.
Like, that's like being like, hey, Twitter, we're going to bomb Pearl Harbor tomorrow, I think. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus
and the,
Christ.
I mean, it's all like, people were very easily able to prove, like, so the ruse was, and they had their account deleted. That's why you can't find it on Twitter, because this is a threatening post. And somebody went and looked in the Wayback Machine, and that account was created, I think, June 1st. So,
it's just
The disinformation, the way that this is going to be politicized is real and something that's going to be constantly in need of fighting back against.
Yeah.
As well as like jammers being like, there's all of a sudden like blackouts of coverage where there's protests, there's like journalists' feeds being taken down and suddenly jamming around in areas where no one else is having issues. Like, it's just...
I mean, they're shooting journalists with tear gas
and protesters. And rubber bullets. They're permanently disabling people.
Yeah.
Permanently disabling people for protesting. This is, I mean, what else? For certain people, we knew this was going on. We knew like how bad it is. And then like when it all happens at once and you look at just what the response is, the response from protests about police brutality and white supremacy being like the overarching ethos of how we police in this country, a protest to bring people's awareness to that was answered with just basically like, oh, you want arrests? Oh, I got them right here for you. 4,400 of you.
Yeah.
Because you want what? One, two, no one's been arrested in Breonna Taylor's murder. We're still waiting for the other three officers. Amongst countless many previous to this.
Thousands of protesters have been arrested and three cops haven't been. I mean,
got one in custody and
for third degree murder too, which is fucking ridiculous.
I mean, this is the thing, you know, like white supremacy is a virus, right? And like like any virus, it's a living organism that we've seen over the last week what living organisms do when they are they are pushed to fight back for their survival.
You see
what happens, what human beings do, right? And that happens with virus. Like, it has to protect itself. It knows that there are stakes. White supremacy is a virus in that sense. And it's just like I'm saying, like anything, you bring, if you bring awareness to it, if you bring awareness to white supremacy, that's how that shit dies. Because objectively, you can't put that shit out in the open. You can't watch a guy get his neck knelt on and die and say, that's okay. Because luckily there's polling that was something like, you know, luckily only 10% of this country is completely out of their minds and was like, whatever happened there was like the police did the right thing. But like well over 85% of the people were like, this is not enough. Like, what the fuck was that? This is absurd. So again, we have that awareness and it makes white supremacy vulnerable, but it strikes back, and it strikes back in the form of how our media is covering it. And it strikes back in the form of how our police are treating the people who are bringing awareness to this virus. And that's how these expressions of self-sustaining, you know, survival mechanisms kick in, and they kick in these other ways. But we're like, oh yeah, they're looting. Wow. Are there outside agitators? What's going on? Because when you're talking about that, you're not talking about white supremacy. When you're talking about Cap and Eric Reed, who are not in the league anymore, you're not talking about white supremacy. And that's what a lot of these things offer us, are distractions from this larger discussion and how these manifestations of white supremacy are all around us.
Yeah. I mean, the degree to which the police were openly antagonistic towards protests against white supremacy was because of my privilege, I think, you know, was even a surprise to me coming into this. It was just like, I couldn't stop watching the videos of them.
And the media
harming people without any provocation.
And the media coverage of, I mean, from my understanding, the trajectory of almost any major protest was very similar in that it starts peaceful, the cops show up and start antagonizing people, and then and then they continue to antagonize people and blame the protesters. And what I have not seen reflected in really any major media is that narrative at all, even though if you trace any citizen who attends these protests in every single city, the story is this the same. Is there's a long afternoon of peaceful protesting, and then the cops show up and start antagonizing people. Like, I feel naive for being shocked at it, but it's just that reflection is nowhere.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show how much the police unions have like bought our politicians in so many ways too.
The fucking strongest union in the country.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, that's weird. Every other union, it's like, let's fucking eviscerate it. And then, hey, the police, what do you need? What do you need? Some tanks?
Whatever.
What do you need? Fucking 150 ton, whatever these things are with hoses, hosing people down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's even in Santa Monica, right? Mm-hmm. Peaceful protest in Santa Monica, blocks away, there were looters. But the police 100% were focused on the peaceful protest, because I think on a certain level, you need all that other chaos to basically say, this is why we need more tanks, man. This is why we need bigger budgets, man. You see what happens? Like, you know, we kill an unarmed person, and next thing you know, people want to do all this. That's why we need all this stuff.
It really did seem like, I mean, that seemed to be, in addition to the media just being fully focused on the looting and not the peaceful protests, the police were the opposite, and it was very, very kind of eerie to watch, you know. No, there were no police. Like, as the looting was happening, the police were not coming. They were not paying attention. They weren't trying to. I think you're right. It seems like there's a lot of, you know, people letting things happen or causing things to happen so they can escalate their argument and blame the other side.
Yeah.
And everybody who I spoke to who was protesting had the same reaction, that it was a peaceful protest, and the police showed up and started
numerous things can be true at the same time. There can be people that are so mad they're burning shit down. There can also be people that see an opportunity to blend in with a crowd so they can just fuck shit up for XYZ reason, and then whatever. There are also people who I saw pushing black people in the back into police to try and create to provoke the police using black bodies. That can also be true. There can also be white supremacists infiltrating this to try and instigate things. There can also be bad faith actors who are doing all kinds of other weird coordinated graffiti and vandalism. There are so many things that can be true. However, the biggest thing that still needs to take front and center stage is white supremacy and over policing, because we got those two examples. If you weren't on board for white supremacy, maybe if you were a white person and you saw that old fucking man get shoved over in Salt Lake City by a riot cop, what the fuck for?
Yeah,
that was like nothing. I was like, whoa, I didn't think they did that to old white people. That was kind of a trip for me to see. Because it was one thing when they're ramming a squad car through a group of people who are just trying to peacefully block the road. But it's another when you just see some dude who's aggro for no reason shoving an old man down. It's like, exactly, because look at the kinds of people that we are employing in these positions and what these institutions are used for. They're institutions used to uphold our capitalist, white supremacist system of governance. That's all it is. They are here to protect private property. That's all they are there for. And that also means private property means, oh, sorry, someone sold your building you live in. We're going to up the rent. Can't afford it? You're evicted. Going to gentrify it now because Caruso wants to turn it into Grove 3.0. That's what they're, that's another version of this. And these, these whole things, man, are about disrupting these systems of oppression. And again, they're living organisms, so they strike back. We want justice for Tony McDade and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Eric Garner and Trayvon Martin. And you know what? You could start reading a list that you thought it was fucking Arya's list times 7 billion, okay? And we can go down this list, and there's still not been justice because we have not disrupted this white supremacist form of policing and governance. The whole thing is, like, look at all these systems that are so well-funded. The military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, our militarized police forces, they get the best funding because they do the best job of keeping people oppressed and keeping people from actually getting in touch with their power and improving their lives. You know who doesn't get money? Education, health services, community support services. Those are non-discriminatory support systems that help people get out of spirals of poverty and what have you, violence or anything. But there's a reason why, because that threatens to upend, it threatens to disrupt these forms, these systems of oppression. So when you see people go out there and go, we're so fucking pissed at this, this is a rebellion. This is an uprising, pushing back against what you define as legal, because all we see is injustice. And you may use these terms legal and law and code, whatever section, fuck you. But what we see are people being murdered
and there are no consequences. And so if, but if the police have to answer that, that means they have to say, well, then do we need to dismantle these, this police department? Do we need to do a review of all these officers and make sure we don't? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's too disruptive because right now there's already a steady flow of money going in. Our, like LA's budget, damn near $3 billion are going to the police. Well, there is nothing for our unhoused people. That's why. Because
today.
invest in the thing that is, it's all a down payment on the fight against poor people. That's all these things are. Down payment on prisons is if it's a down payment. We have, well, we have to put these people somewhere when they start fucking trying to be like, give us our fair share.
Yep. It's really frustrating. I mean, it's on a city level. I mean, it's so many cities have been completely fucking fumbling, handling these protests. Like I have yet to see a city that has done it remotely well. And it's not, I feel like the tone of the media coverage is that the cities are so overwhelmed and surprised that they don't know how to handle it. But that's just absolutely not true. They have demonstrated with their money and their influence that they are with the cops, and that they're, the fact that they are acting in favor of the cops isn't a mistake, and it's not out of fear. It's an intentional, it's what's been going on and on and on. And I don't know. I mean, we've all been calling our city councilors, but it's not that they are like, I'm not sure which way to go. They know which way they're going to go.
Yeah, you're not sure what, didn't you see them like in other cities just shooting at fellow members of the media?
The National Guard has been given permission to kill, to use lethal force. Like, they know which way they're going.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's, I mean, if you,
de Blasio's daughter got picked
doxed.
Up. Yeah,
by the
docs.
Fucking cops.
Just like, oh, please, so sorry, cops. Like, fuck off. Yeah.
It's horrifying. The I mean, multiple people pointed out, like, when you look at the what it looks like when you know, in quotes, the something happens and the police aren't ready for it versus something happens and the doctors aren't ready for it. The police show up and in tanks and looking like it's, you know, World War III from like the future. And when the pandemic happens and the healthcare industry isn't ready for it, the doctors show up and have to reuse their paper masks over and over again.
Yeah. You some of these cities, I saw the fucking mech suits from Pacific Rim pull up with a blue red light on.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then meanwhile, our medical workers and people who are essential care workers, people who work in meat processing facilities, look like they're cosplaying
fucking
as people in PPE. Not even the real thing. Look like they're doing the...
Yeah.
Woo!
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and kind of break this down into smaller chunks.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And Jamie, you were pointing out kind of the history of these draconian curfews that they kind of put in place whenever there's a protest or something like this.
Yeah, I just I went back and just wanted to like educate myself a little more on how these curfews are used. Just because, I mean, and again, it's like I have so much to educate myself on, but this was the first time in my life that I was affected by a curfew, where these past 2 days in LA where the curfews have been imposed so suddenly and so severely that you are stranding people in place and you're actively putting people in danger if they don't have a car, which, you know, it speaks to a number of issues. It speaks to class and it speaks to race and it speaks to essential workers' protection. And on and on, because they were using the Metro City buses in our city and New York, at very least, those are the ones I'm aware of, to arrest people. So I did some research on how curfews have been used, at least in the past couple of generations, and there has been an increasing frequency of how they're used. But the trend is it's used to, many argue, suppress freedom of assembly. Beginning in the civil rights movement and the Jim Crow era of the 60s and the 50s, people in the South were very often had a curfew imposed on them to prevent any assembly and prevent any type of protesting. It's escalated in the past 10 years. There were curfews imposed in Ferguson in 2014. There's curfews in Baltimore in 2015 after Freddie Gray was shot. There were curfews associated with the Occupy Wall Street protest to have an excuse to get people off the street and get people to stop protesting with force. There was a huge couple days of curfew in Cincinnati back in 2001. When Timothy Thomas was shot and there were protests reflecting that. There were curfews that prevented people, mostly Black people in New Orleans, from getting what they needed due to fear of looting during Hurricane Katrina, and then again during two other hurricanes in 2008 and 2012.
There seems to be a thread there.
Yeah, interesting.
And also you mentioned in your write-up that Japanese Americans had a curfew on the West Coast during World War II. It seems like it's exclusively used as a way for cops to just basically have the impunity to arrest whoever they want. Because, you know, a white person is out past curfew, the police have the ability to look the other way. But, you know, this always seems to be a racially motivated policy.
Always. Yeah.
Just when you said if a white person, I don't know if you saw that clip of the news where a white woman was in a store looting. And then the person under was like, I hope this woman's an employee maybe of the store.
Jesus.
Like, it was like, wow, look, the media can't even come off of it. An complete inability to even look at it like this. And yes, these curfews, Like I said in the beginning, whatever it is to take away our awareness of white supremacy, because if people are gathering together and saying we are against it, then other people go, what are they gathering over there for? What is that? Against white supremacy? What is that? Oh, yeah, that's bad. Oh, okay. Whoa, what? Mm-hmm. Huh? But if you prevent people from gathering, you don't have to talk about it. And again, it's these are the things we have to keep dragging it back out into the light, because otherwise, this is what they get to do. They have a million and one tactics to keep us from shutting the fuck up, whether that's firing you from your job, keeping you from playing a sport that you love, or setting a fucking curfew on you and suddenly making it illegal to be poor and not have a car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And they set the curfew in LA yesterday at like 5:15, and the curfew was six.
Six. Yeah, you had 45 minutes.
The one in Santa Monica, I feel like, was even quicker.
Yeah. It was that was less than a half hour. Yeah. And mm-hmm. today, I mean, at the time of recording this, there have been sudden curfews with less than 2 hours notice mm-hmm. posted in two different areas of the city. It also is connected to there are poor people protesting in rich neighborhoods and they want poor people out, yes. which is why you see the shutdowns coming especially early in our area, in areas like Beverly Hills and in Westwood and in Santa mm-hmm. Monica, is because they don't want poor people demonstrating in rich areas. They want and they want the excuse to be able to arrest and incite violence against protesters that dare show up.
And again, if you're listening to this right now and saying like, but these demonstrations, I get it. You know, it's so fucked up that people get killed and nothing happens. It's, oh, fuck. It's so fucked up. You know, like,
my
honestly,
stars and garters.
I shout out to so many well-intentioned.
I have to see Miles's face.
So many well-intentioned people who are doing that. Great. Good for you. The proof is in the pudding when I see you fucking smack the shit out of someone for using the N-word before a black person does. That'll be mm-hmm. that. I'll revel that day when your hands are quicker than ours to shut mm-hmm. some shit down like that. But if you're looking at all of that and still saying like, yes, you understand that, but you're looking at this other part and using that to sort of take the momentum out of you being outraged out of what these people are angry about, that is another form of white supremacy creeping into mm-hmm. your subconscious again. Because if you are now mm-hmm. focused on, well, why are they doing it like that? You know what you're not talking about is white supremacy. Mm-hmm. We can right. talk about why they do that, or we can talk about why white people kill black people. I don't, whatever it is, sure, we can mm-hmm. talk about that. But the thing we need to do is talk about it in a way where it's like, well, what are the fucking solutions? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just tell me, oh, I hate it, and I wish people didn't do it like that. Okay, mm-hmm. well, now get involved in the solution part too, and don't get fucking caught up in this other shit, because again, all of these things are meant to erode our ability to have solidarity with each other. Because absolutely. If the second you start questioning, well, why are they doing it like that? Or like, do those people really have to go about it? Yeah, some people, look, when we're just one person, it's easy to get picked off, mm-hmm. you know? But you come together with hundreds, thousands, millions, there's more of us than there's them. Just look at the NFL. Unfortunately, Kaepernick and Eric Reid were some of the few people who were like consistent with it. And they got picked off. But imagine if every black player and every white player that agreed that police violence was fucked up and white supremacy is bad also said, nah, we're also kneeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you think fucking Goodell's going to be like, yeah, well, then you're all out. No, you're not. Right. Because at the end of the day,
I'm playing.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's the thing people have to realize, what is really powerful about having solidarity in these kinds of movements. Because right now it looks like a lot of people are charged up and using George Floyd to realize many other things among the other issues. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there is real social unrest in this country. And don't let mm-hmm. people for a second try and delude that by being like, well, these couple people, you know, those are people in denial to say, it can't mm-hmm. be that bad for people. It can't be that bad for people. It can't be that bad for people.
Mm-hmm. Really briefly, I want to talk about a guy, David Grossman, who I was on a Bastards episode that dropped yesterday that I recommend people check out for more texture on this. But basically, this fully informed every thought I had about this uprising and the police response over the weekend, just watching the police throwing people to the ground, driving their cars into crowds of protesters, firing rubber bullets, like as if, you know, they are at war with everyone around them. So David Grossman is a fake expert in a field he made up called Killology. And it's basically a course. Yeah, I swear to God. He named it Killology. And it's a course for police with a primary focus on training the aversion to murder out of them. And he hypes up the idea that, like, police are more in danger now than they ever have been, which is the opposite of the truth. He claims that his whole, like, mode of his whole mission is based on this idea from the U.S. military, which, like, the thesis of Full Metal Jacket is that the U.S. military trains the humanity out of people, mm-hmm. or started training the humanity out of people ahead of Vietnam. And that's why that was like a Heart of Darkness situation. And he looked at that and was like, yeah, let's do that with cops. Essentially, there was this anecdote that is dubious that World War II soldiers didn't fire, like they fired at each other 10% of the time because they had a natural aversion to murder. And then prior to the Vietnam War, the Marines like started creating killing machines and they started actually killing the enemy more frequently. And yeah, he, even if it's not a true anecdote, he looks at that and uses that as an example of like what we need to change about the police force.
Nope.
So he goes around, he tells these cops about like, shows them a traffic stop where a cop gets shot and is like heard dying horribly on the thing. And then he's like, this person should have shot the motorist before they had a chance to be shot. Like they gave him too many chances. You might have heard this guy's name or about his course because the cop who shot Philando Castile, who you can see in the video, his like, you know, pink flushed face on camera, having the like, what the fuck did I just do moment, like screaming, I told you not to move. He was a recent graduate of Grossman's program, and this program has been used in the Minneapolis area. Like, it's not just about this dude. This is a minor, like a small pinhole into like an entire like cancer that is devouring our country. Yeah. And it's just devastating.
I don't know.
Killology.
It's man, what it.
It's horrifying.
We have to completely rethink so. We've been having to rethink so many things, and you know, my heart really goes out to activists who have been screaming all of these things at the top of their lungs for decades, and now seems like maybe a moment where we might be able to take a look at it. But like I said, what we're dealing with right now is one of the biggest problems in American society. And the solution is not going to be quick by any stretch or easy. It's going to take, like, we're rolling our sleeves up. I think that's why when this episode started, I'm like, let's just fucking go.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think the real work really, really has to start here. And if we're not thinking of how our police forces work, they're, you know, the serve and protect motto. Again, I think everybody has had some form of the joke of being like, you know, like they work for us, but how many bosses can you kill? Can you kill your boss? Can you shoot your boss? You beat your boss, throw racial slurs at your boss, harass your boss, because that relationship has completely been inverted. And it's not, you are here to just ensure my safety from people who are doing something illegal, not for you to like enforce some other, you know, code of laws that you've created to generate tax revenue from being poor either.
And then, I mean, so Trump is kind of, well, let's take a break and then we'll talk about Trump tweeting from his little bunker in the ground. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and something we've touched on a couple times is was maybe one of the most striking things about people's reaction to the uprising over the weekend was how hard people ride for private property in America. The degree to which people are... like that's what they're worried about. There's police, you know, firing tear gas at people who are protesting peacefully over here, and they're moving their camera over to show somebody like taking a pair of sneakers out of a store. Like that's I think it speaks to just how the foundation of consumerism that kind of runs through America, like the idea of that disintegrating. If burning the Grove to the fucking ground is going to save one life, like what the fuck are we waiting for? Like what, like just by getting attention to, well, like drawn to white supremacy.
The police guarding empty stores, buildings, like more carefully than they're guarding the lives of, you know, anybody.
But it's all a metaphor, right, of how capitalism works. Those stores are filled with our labor, with the wealth we created. So they have to put their attack dogs in front of it when people try and reclaim it in this parallel example. And even just... the absolute, like when you just think of how all of this, you know, consumer relationships we have, you know, with private property, right? That's like the white person's originary, like, first toy they ever got, right? Yeah. Whether that's taking the private property of indigenous people or the artifacts from cultures they've conquered, that's like the first relationship that gets you on the high of white supremacy, is I can take shit and that becomes mine now. And you try and fucking come get it. That's that's that same mentality being echoed back now. And it's really bizarre to look at when you think of all that shit, like Manifest Destiny and all that, of like, well, I spoke to the manager of Earth God, and they said it was our destiny to fucking kick y'all the fuck out, and us taking this shit and do whatever the fuck we want to. And it's when we see those things played out just with these relationships, I'm like, I'm not confused or I'm not surprised, but it's also just so, when the irony is just sort of fed back and like you're looking at it visually, like, yeah, that, it's like, oh my,
like,
God.
Stephanie Pratt, like, right, I don't normally look to Stephanie Pratt from The Hills for, you know, my awareness of, yeah, for my cues on like social situations. But this, just the irony and the, so she tweeted, shoot the looters, using this tragedy as their excuse to rob and burn all of our towns down. And she also tweeted something else about, like, won't you please think about Neiman Marcus type thing.
Well, it's like, fuck her. But it's like, also, what does she mean when she says our? We know exactly
right.
What she means.
Yeah. Oh, of course. She was caught shoplifting $1,300 worth of clothes from a department store like 14 years ago. But she thinks people should be punished with death.
Okay, get in line, because I think you were looting before them. So if we're gonna do this in order,
yeah, you're first. You're first, bitch. Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I didn't mean like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's a similar story with whatever was going on with Jake Paul over the weekend, where he was found like live streaming looting a mall in Arizona. It's just so fucking counterproductive and expected with who this person is that it just makes your head spin.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised, because you will always see the appropriation of black expressions of emotion happening by white people, you know, like, and in this unfortunate instance, this is anger. And then you saw some kids running around who just took that to be like, let's just fucking do whatever the fuck we want. It wasn't anything to do with it. But again, and I don't even want to give air to all of that, because all of this is about our white supremacist capitalist system of oppression that is expressing it in terms of trying to fire rounds at the media or people who are like on their own property and just get inside and then shooting people. There are people shooting. Look at they're not here to protect us. They're there to get off on some weird inverted power fantasy they have from childhood. And they happen to somehow be in the job that has been advertised to them for decades, where this is the one place you can beat the shit out of vulnerable people. And like, even the black cop won't even stop you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I feel bad for these other cops, because I also saw videos of police officers who were emotional that they were there staring down fellow human beings who they knew were right in being upset with them and them having to reconcile all that and process all that. But it's like anything.
It's like you can fucking quit. Like,
yeah. And I get it. Yeah. It's like, but, and I understand though, because it's the same reason anyone gets into something, you go into it idealistically and you can think like,
I would never
let that shit happen around me.
Yeah,
I'll never let. I got into politics. I'll never be on some bullshit like payroll or some fucking earth destroyer. Whoops. You
That's
are.
Not, I mean,
and then you got to have a gut check and then think, okay, can you actually change it or not? Because you also see what the examples are of the police officers that do stand up for themselves. It doesn't end well. It certainly doesn't end with them having any kind of pension.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there was a woman police officer who stopped one of her colleagues from beating up a suspect who
shoved
was in
a woman to the ground. Right?
And this was like a year ago, but she was fired and lost her pension and brought up on charges of like tampering with evidence or some shit.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of really good podcast reporting actually on just cops who decide to try and do right and reform their divisions, and it's just all out war on them again. It's just,
and this is, but and this is also how we bring this into the light. See, we don't know this, so most people just look at it as like, look at that thing, just fucking rotten on the inside out. And but sadly, there are people who understand that it's bad and are trying to do right, but we have to. This is also time to bring all that shit out. So who are those people trying to do right? Please tell your story out loud, because I think a lot of people now will back you. More people, at least the momentum of public opinion would be on the side of someone who is trying to do away with dirty cops.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a better understanding of what has been attempted and how was it defeated, and having a better understanding of exactly how these movements are internally crushed and we never even find out. Like, what are the methods that have been tried? Why have they failed? What can we do differently?
Yeah. I keep thinking about Christopher Dorner this whole weekend. I keep thinking back on him. For those that don't know, he was a black cop that was, you know, called out racism in his department, got fired, and then he went on a cop's killing spree, and then he was burned to death in a cabin in Big Bear. Yeah, it's about the system. It's not about the individuals, you know.
Yeah,
it's
and his manifesto is like,
it's wild.
He tried to lay out as much as everything as possible. These are the incidents I reported. This is what happened to me. This is the person who oversaw that hearing. Mm-hmm. They are now elevated to this position. Again, these cis, they're living organisms. So if you appear as something as a threat to its existence, it is going to try and extinguish you, because that's just how things work. So if whether that's an individual officer or the kind of coverage of what is happening in this country, the coverage is an antidote or is a response of white supremacy to obscure what is like. You know, why aren't they talking to people? Because if they were, people would be like, oh my God, this seems like a broad coalition of people from all kinds of walks of life who, on top of supporting these angry black people in this country, are also upset about this and are here to support them and also feel that this is an injustice. But rather, it's like, the smart and final is, I think smoke is coming from the, and they're running out with Iris Cherry Cola, I believe. Oh, yeah. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
That's not what the news is. But by doing that, that's just so disingenuous. It's just such a disingenuous move, cynical move from the media. But we shouldn't expect anything else, because they all have to work together to feed us this version of reality that we need to not start questioning and asking bigger, better things out of our leaders.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, I do want to talk about how Trump is responding to this.
Lack thereof.
And fanning the flames of this and trying to, you know, not trying to help in any way other than to, you know, escalate the conflict while, you know, sitting inside his palace, as it was referred to, in a bunker where he was whisked away to when there were protesters outside the White House. He was taken away. There was a guy on Fox News, a former Secret Service agent for Obama, who was talking about, like, really talking up the fact that this is a insurrection from a very sophisticated, coordinated enemy in Antifa. This guy made sure, because he was on Fox and seems to be just a raving rage monster, was saying that he was like, I disagreed with Obama. I still showed up and did my job, which suggests that, like, this, I don't know, the level of, like, credit he's giving himself for doing his job as a Secret Service member for Obama as a way to, like, qualify his feedback. But then, yeah, I heard somebody refer to the cops setting their cars on fire is one theory of what was happening, because they were all around burning police cars that were empty. And
that was the narrative I understood on.
Yeah, it was just why were the cars, these old cars, by the way, the ones
old Crown
that
Vicks.
Don't drive around. Yeah, they were the old Crown Vicks. How did they end up, like, posed, parked in the middle of the street? Just like, they just abandoned them and then let the people burn them down and then circled around them. Anyways, I heard that referred to as
happening all over the country.
See, yeah. It's one of the oldest police tactics too. It's just baiting.
Yeah.
Like using bait cars, or it's like whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm. The way that was set up in LA was by the time the peaceful protest got back to that intersection, the cars had happened and the police were suited up and waiting for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that really seems like, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory.
No.
I think that's an actual conspiracy
that
was happening. And it just doesn't make sense. How are people finding these police cars, getting them in the middle of the street and lighting them on fire? Like how, it just logically. But I heard somebody refer to it as Reichstag fire, which, you know, when you're reading about the rise of Nazism, like, I started this book, The Death of Democracy, about the end of the Weimar Republic and how Hitler, you know, consolidated power by starting a fake fire in what was essentially like Congress and burning it down and then using that as a justification to then claim that everything like left of him were terrorists. And people were just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to argue against that. And so there was just this massive, this was 4 weeks into his presidency. But you already see Trump doing something similar with, you know, declaring Antifa a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
And the right also just weaponizing these images to try to appeal to scared racist people.
Well, you know, it's like anything. If you just cherry pick and myopically cover images of buildings burning, and then use your media confirmation bias to only focus on black bodies looting or participating in it, mm-hmm. you've actually done a successful job of distracting people from talking about white supremacy,
mm-hmm. yeah.
because now you're just talking about. Oh, see, you hate to see it. That's what they do. They're angry, and then they start the looting. And mm-hmm. that's not how I would do it. It's just if there was another way. But see, this is what, see, it's not because I don't have to do anything. It's because they're doing it like that. That's why I don't have to do anything.
That's why
about
I'm not
this.
Participating.
That's why I don't have to. Because if that's how they're going to do it, I mean, honestly, like, what's the point? Honestly, like, it's not worth like the self mm-hmm. or self awareness. And that's what
it's an excuse to not show up.
And it's subconscious mm-hmm. too. People don't realize. And that's why I'm saying like. It's take a second to even examine every decision you're making when it comes to what is happening right now and every opinion that you have on it. Take a really fucking just pause for a second and think about why you think something might be like that or why mm-hmm. it isn't. Because I'll tell you what, when it gets boiled down to the humanity of it all, most people tend to agree that this is all fucked up.
Yeah.
But it takes a while to unlearn a bunch of shit on your way there to be able to see things for what they are sometimes.
Well, yeah, you see the cars on fire. You also see the cops taking a knee whenever the cameras are around.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the cameras leave, they're shooting people with bullets. It's like these are two sides of the same playbook that they're playing out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a number of examples of that. I mean, I think that the example I saw most frequently was in Orlando, where it was like there were cops taking a knee. The police, you know, mm-hmm. the police Twitter account was all over it. They're like, we're with you, blah, blah, blah. And, mm-hmm. you know, people who were there were like 45 minutes later, they were shooting us with tear gas. But.
Yeah.
Go off with the taking a knee picture.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But just so people are kind of armed with, if they hear, you know, that Antifa is coming for you and they're going to burn down America. And I heard Antifa described as, like, they have the organization of a bird-watching community or the bird-watching community. They have a shared interest, but there are organizations of people who identify as anti-fascist, but there's not an official organization that is overarching. And also their interest is just fighting fascism.
They're fighting it's in the fucking name. They're not like,
right.
Yeah.
But you know, similar tactics again of whether it's the version that, it's Antifa that is there to like rabble rouse and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with like a lot of people are sharing posters of how the KKK would be like, don't talk with communists because they're going to be on that like, yo, let's get together shit. And they're going to put you in harm's way. And you don't want that now.
Because it's right. Again, a lot of this, and then there's also, but then there's versions too where it's like, I think white supremacists, the media does say that some officials suspect it's white supremacists, whatever. The bottom line though, like with this whole Antifa thing, like what's really people should really examine is like, if they're against fascism, and that is a form of terrorism against a person, I'd imagine that terrorism, that terror would befall a fascist.
Right.
But I mean, I think the other thing is we have such a hard time connecting the dots. Oh, wait, Nazis, fascists, Nazis, bad fascists. Yes. Like, that's the thing, like, people don't have, because the Nazis actually, I think, allowed a lot of Americans to distract themselves from the own bullshit that was happening in this country. Be like, can you believe Hitler, though? Mm-hmm. Can you believe that shit? Because, you know, all the racism shit didn't happen in the 60s. Let's be real. So I think there's also a reason why there's like this thing of like really getting angry at Nazis, too, because they also help Americans avoid a real conversation about the treatment of people in this country. So, and I think that's why sometimes we have that, people don't quite get what fascism is in that sense, because like we just need Hitler as a way to reflect our own like moral purity back to us.
Right. Yeah. Antifa started with Mussolini, which is, you know, so it was before Nazism, and you know, they tend to be on the right side of history. When you look back, the people who fought Mussolini were the good guys. So keep in mind when you're identifying Antifa or passing a meme around that suggests Antifa is a terrorist organization, what side are you actually on? You're not on the good guys side.
Just think, at the end of the day, don't worry. Your primary focus should be solidarity against white supremacy and solidarity with all oppressed people. But right now, the topic du jour happens to be white supremacy as it relates to black people in this country. Let's do it one at a time, because we're not going to fucking do it all at once. But at the very least, I mean, fuck, the reckoning has been we've been waiting to have it. But we do the best job of avoiding real self-examination in this country, of having true reckonings with shit, whether a myriad of issues. But we're the best. We're really good. We're really, really good at avoiding those conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation. I was looking forward to talking with you guys all weekend, and it definitely helps me to hear you guys' voices and perspectives.
I do want to say, right, I spent this entire weekend, I watched Unicorn Riot till my eyes were dry. Rage scrolled through Twitter. I have probably 7,000 tweets and drafts that I should just throw away my phone because I was so angry. And a lot of people are angry, and you should be angry, and don't let anybody tell you how to feel. I do want to say this, though. Be careful with what you're ingesting during this time, because keep that little flame alive. But if you fan it too much right now, it'll die out and you will burn out and you will not have the energy within you to keep this fight going. If you need to take a breath, please take a fucking breath. Nobody is asking you for your take on social media or anything else like that. I think you really need to just take this second to realize that there's a lot of shit we're up against, whether that's the military police state and white supremacy, all these other things, they're all on the same tree, and we're living in the shade of it, and we're trying to get into the sunlight. And it's gonna take energy to get into that sunlight, though. So if don't burn yourself out. I understand it feels good to be like, it feels good to be like, yes, I am responding to everything I'm seeing. Yes, this is making me angry. So I do know if you've established that, great. But take a second, because there is real, real work that has to be done. And we are really going to have to show up in real big ways. Innocent people are being killed. Innocent people are being maimed for nothing. Whether that's the people who are having interactions with the police, or those are people who are standing in solidarity with those victims, or independent journalists trying to hold people accountable. We have to keep this energy up. So don't burn out now. Take a second.
Yeah.
Take a second. You're not even in the blocks. You're not even in the blocks. You haven't even stretched. You just found out that you made the team. That's what happened. You have not trained for this. You just looked on the thing. Okay, did I? Yes, you're on the team. And guess what? We have track meets the rest of our damn lives. So get ready. But you need to also be aware that when you're on this team, it's not ending when we get the next new whatever. Oh my, can you believe Trump did? No. Because then all that shit you're talking means nothing. Everybody has to commit to this. That's the only way you can feel good about this and not hang your head and say, everything is so fucked up. Why am I even trying? This is bullshit. Yeah. Because we need to take a second, because we really do need to find a way for us to all come together to organize and actually properly do this to make change. Because I told you, if it's just a couple of us, we get picked off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can all find a way to get on the same page, whatever it is. There is going to be a way to do that, and you will impress yourself with your ability to do that. But that only happens if you have that shit going till the end of your days. So don't burn it out now.
Absolutely.
Brandy, where can people find you, follow you, enjoy you?
I'm on Twitter at Brandazzle. I do want to read for you guys. George M. Johnson. I am GM Johnson on Twitter. This morning he tweeted, "Happy Pride Month. Stonewall was started because of police brutality."
Yep.
And we're recording this on June 1st. And you know, I want to get to a place where we got Black Pride parades in the streets. That's where I want to get to. Because I would love that. Someday, I believe. You know what I mean? It's like we're going to... Joy is also a part of protest, too. And holding on to that for ourselves is important. I'm on Twitter at Brandazzle. I'm retweeting stuff a lot right now. Because it's not about what I have to say. So come find me. But find other people, too, and donate... Donate to everything. And if you got a rich person in your life, steal their money and then put it in a fund. Let's all rob our parents' purses.
Jamie, where can people find you, follow you?
I'm on Twitter. Jamie Loftus Help. And I'm going to shout out a Miles tweet that made the rounds this weekend. This is the following: "White allies, please remember the real revolution is going to happen off of social media. It's going to happen in your homes, in your workplaces, and at social gatherings. Twitter is the easy part. Commit to the hard part as well." Which that resonated with me a lot. And I think that especially any ally, just fucking pick up the phone and have the conversation. I called a bunch of family members this weekend, and it's there's shit cooked into them, and it's you have to like really, really, really understand what is cooked in, and then be able to what I'm trying to continue working on is to educate myself to the point where I can really speak eloquently to them and you know, get to a point where I feel comfortable saying, "Look, I understand why you have been conditioned to feel this way. Here is the way out of this line of thinking." Like, it really is on us to talk to our parents and talk to our coworkers and push back. Like, there's just, I don't know, it's something that I really want to get better at and want to keep educating myself to be able to do. I'll also shout out a study done in Minneapolis that I was going through over the weekend, and it's if you want to check it out, it's mpd150.com. It's a research that has just done a 150-year performance review of the Minneapolis Police Department. The conclusion it reaches, spoiler alert, is that the police should be defunded. But the history and the details very, very enlightening and very detailed. And the fact that it's specific to Minneapolis is also, no small thing. So I would highly recommend people check out that study. And
Miles, where can people find you, follow you?
Miles of Gway. Sound like a four-year-old. Miles of Gway. Miles of Gray. Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network. and my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. And, you know, to your point, Jamie, like, and a lot of people have been messaging me, like, saying they've had hard conversations. Let me tell you mm-hmm. something. You're not going to scream the racism out of your folks or your friends. Mm-hmm. That's Mm-mm. not going to happen. Mm-mm. So I would not, don't think you're going to change someone's heart like that. And I understand you're angry mm-hmm. and it feels like a good way to do that. It's like, I'm mm-hmm. angry. You know what? I can confront someone who I feel I need to confront. Sure. That's one way of doing it. We're going to have people on the show in the coming weeks that, you know, are going to help us give substantive advice on a number of things. But start off by just telling people that racism is something you think is morally reprehensible, something you will not engage in, and you are in the process of analyzing your own behavior and trying mm-hmm. to be aware if there's anything you have done or could do better, knowing all of the things that are going on in the world and the hurt that is out there. Mm-hmm. Just do that. Because then you can just start off like the friend that, like, the first homie you had that was vegan, who you're like, oh, that fool's vegan now? And you're like, all right, bro. But they hang around, and, like, they're not making a lot of noise about it. And then you're like, oh, shit, what are you eating? Oh, what is that? Is that good? That's good? What is that? Impossible? And then you eat, and you're like, this is better than fucking regular. Fuck, bro.
Why am I aging faster than you?
I fuck with vegan food, and I feel stupid because I was over here being like, man, fuck you. I don't know what the fuck that's about. The same. It's going to be the same thing. You could mm-hmm. do it, but please, at the very least, like I said, let people know where you stand to start. And you don't have to argue if they go, okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to get in a fight. If you want to, fine. I'm not going to tell you how to exercise your demons. But that's a very powerful first step, is just to say, like, I'm thinking about this very deeply, and I hope you are too. And then we will proceed with more. Okay, some tweets that I like is from Ms. Toller. It says, normalize changing your opinion on something after learning new information. It's okay, I promise. Yes. It really is okay. Jesus. In fact, we call that growth. And yes, it's super chill. Y'all fuck with it. Another one's from @JesseCase. It says, wait till Jared Leto comes back from his retreat this time. Oh, fuck. I needed that. I needed that shit. And the other thing I needed... the other thing I needed was... a lot of people have been tweeting this, but Marcella Arguello at Marcella Comedy, she tweeted that fucking David Guetta stupid end racism DJ drop clip. And she said, I need every white liberal posting MLK meme quotes to caption it. Shout out to his family. Thank you so much. That video, if you haven't seen, have you guys seen it?
No.
Dude, David Guetta is on like a rooftop.
Oh, he's wait.
Like,
yes, I have
guys, we have
seen
to
it.
Stop all this. We have to come together, you know, in the God. Peace. And for it's... unity, and then plays like a I Have a Dream like fucking drop.
He
and then
remixes
like gets,
it, yeah.
And he's like, shout out to George Floyd's family. It's so dope.
Oh, it's recent?
Yes.
Oh, it's
yes.
from like 2 days ago.
Yes. Oh. Your body Ooh. Will collapse Ooh. Into itself. But Shit. It's so cringe. And that we need a little bit of cringe with our vegetables, you know, just to kind of give us a little bit of laugh right
Sprinkle
now.
Because
my
top.
God, what a... Please, sir, Woo! Turn the camera off.
Real quick, Super Producer Anna Hosni, I wanted us to remind y'all, if you're out protesting, to get tested or quarantine, because it is like still a pandemic, and you know they're trying to use that shit against us.
And if you're in LA, the you can actually get tested again. There was a 36-hour period where the mayor took away testing to show protesters, but you can get tested again.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's
a couple tweets I've been enjoying. @WhosDia tweeted, watching CNN anchors try to think through why this is happening is like watching a toddler realize their hand can grip things and pick them up, which I thought was just a really good description of what that felt like. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
I don't know how this artist popped up in my music suggestions, but I love it. Her name is Lee Kelly 47. And I could be messing up her name completely. I've just stumbled upon her album Acrylic, and I love it. It's from 2018. But there's a track called Girl Blunt on it, and it's just like this, it's like a tongue-in-cheek kind of rap song. Said, this shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. And I don't know what that is, but I thought it was a fun chorus. And I just like the lo-fi production. And I don't know what else to say. Watch some fucking competitive Peloton and try and rest your brain for a second.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. I suggest you don't try me. I'm real unstable when I'm off that YG. Half of LA friends don't mind me. I stand 5'3 and I'm real feisty. What I need, pretty nigga, palm trees. Got my own money, bitches, nothing you can buy me. Nope. Crooklyn.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.